Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss. There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
The spider went up the water spout.
Spout.
Down came the rain and washed the spider out.
Whoosh.
I think up came the sun and dried up all the rain.
Dried up all the rain. And
the itsy bitsy spider went up the spout again. Oh God, I don't know if that's right. If that's right lyrics, but I made them up.
Those are the perfect lyrics and the perfect intro to our Black Widow discussion episode with Lauren El Manzano back in action. Boom! Intro done. Did you see my coordination over here?
Hi, I'm Joe.
And I'm Lauren.
And we are
the Neuro Nerds. Yes, that was on time.
I feel pretty good about that. Welcome to the Neuro Nerds. That was a very interesting intro, and it was done by the beautiful, amazing Lauren El Manzano. What's up, Lauren?
Hi, guys.
I'm so happy to see you.
I'm back after a long break.
Yeah, a little bit of a hiatus.
Yeah, it's been kind of a year, guys. I can't really talk about a lot of it right now, but trust and believe that in the future, we will have lots to unpack and more things to talk about mental illness wise. Just for you guys.
not only with a worldwide pandemic, not only dealing with coming back from a major concussion, on top of all of that, some other
thing
shit thrown in your your way. You know what we're going to say it is, since you're a Bat Widow? It was just some mission that you were on, and it went wild. It went rogue. It went south.
You know what? I'll take it. Actually, on a funny note, so you know how we sang Itsy Bitsy Spider? If you guys ever, or I sang, I guess, there is a creepy Russian lullaby that kind of sounds like Itsy Bitsy Spider that people have used as a fan theme for like fan-made trailers for the Black Widow movie before the Black Widow movie was even a concept. And it's really, really creepy. Maybe I'll send the link and you guys can listen. I think it's called Tilly Bomb.
Ooh.
Tilly Bomb. Yeah.
The links will be in the bio. And then when you're listening to that, picture in your head me saying Das Vidaniya.
Oh, God.
Right? That's the only thing I know in Russian.
That's sad. I know far more Russian than you.
Of course you do, because you run Spec Ops.
I am Bat Widow.
Of course. So, how have you been?
I am functioning. What's up with that? We always talk about like. So I did it today with my doctor, where it's like scale of 1 to 10. Where am I at with my anxiety? And it's dropped from where it was. So I'm like at a solid 6.5.
Oh, that's okay. That's good.
And it like, that's elevated for me, but from what's been going on, it was like at a 9. So like 6.5 is not bad. I'll take it.
Yeah, it's, like, it's hilarious. You're like, 6.5, that's bad for me. I was like, that's amazing. But like, that's on a Joe scale. On my scale, yeah. I was like, oh my God, you're in amazing spirits. No, for you, horrible. But when I think 6.5, I think like the Punisher Thomas Jane movie. Uh-huh. It's like a 6.5, right? So it's like, it's okay. It's not bad. It's not horrible. It's not great. It's not bad. That is functional. So that's good. Now, when you said your doctor, is this like your physical doctor, your crazy doctor?
No, this is like my normal doctor.
Oh, okay, cool. And physically, you're okay?
Doing better.
Good, good, good. That's all we can ask for. You know, we're all works in progress. Some will have progressed a little further.
Yeah, this is all of our cliffhangers, guys. Like, stay tuned for when Lauren can talk about things.
Right. You know what this is? This is like all of the Disney Plus Marvel shows where they're like teasing stuff like Mephisto in WandaVision. And then, oh, yeah, nothing.
Yeah, except this is teasers and there's something.
Yeah. We will.
We deliver.
Lauren will not leave you
hanging. Deliver.
Yeah, you damn right. That's one thing. The neuro nerds are here to help and we deliver. That's got to be on a shirt somehow. I've missed you, Lauren. I have. I'm so happy to see you. And I think you need a sandwich. I think you need some rest and a hug. That's what I think you need. That's what I'm sending to you virtually.
I'll take those. Someone asked me, like, what are, like, my go-to comfort foods? Spam masubi and macarons, guys. Right there.
Not to be mistaken with macaroon.
Nope.
Macarons or macarons?
Well, if you're French, it's macaron. Something like that. Right. But it's macaron. Macarons, yeah. I guess. Don't say macaroons come with coconut.
That's what I think. But also, not very bright. You're talking about the colorful hamburgers, right?
Yes. The Krabby Patties.
Yeah, they look like little cartoon hamburgers. You know, mm-hmm. I think they're okay. Look, they're very hit or miss for me. I've never had a really, really good one, but I don't necessarily eat at the best places, Lauren.
This is true.
So I'm glad, and the spam masubi, I love spam masubi. Mm-hmm. Like it seems weird to some people. It's like, wait, spam with rice and seaweed?
No, it's the ultimate comfort food. It's the ultimate comfort food.
It's spam. It's very comforting. It's not good for you, but it's very comforting.
It's yummy. You know what? When you need comfort food, that's where we go.
Hey, I have a question for comforting ice cream. Right, I'm an ice cream person. Like I love ice cream. And I love ice cream that's like other things, right? So like, that's why I like Salt and Straw, because they have like those really weird flavors. And it's like, oh, sidecar apple donut, which is like my favorite one. Kraft, there's a store that made Kraft macaroni and cheese ice cream.
No, I saw that. No.
I am so curious. Are you not curious?
Nope, not at all.
Do you not have that morbid curiosity? Like, what would ice cream macaroni and cheese taste like?
No, I could live my entire life without knowing that.
Because if you think about it, it's like the double comfort. Comfort food, macaroni and cheese. Oh, it's very comforting, right?
No.
Ice cream. Let me put those two things together. No. Ultimate comfort.
No.
No?
No. This will have to be a poll somewhere on the Instagram or something.
Hey, you know what?
Who is on Team Joe and who is on Team Right? Which is Lauren.
Hey, in the immortal words of my beautiful, tiny ass-kicking co-host, everybody is entitled to their incorrect opinion. Just saying.
It's wrong opinion, not incorrect.
Well, I'm glad you're doing things to comfort yourself in stressful times. We all should do that.
Self-care. Oh, I haven't done it. I just said those are my comfort foods. No.
Lauren, get those comfort foods in your face.
I know.
You're withering away. If you turn sideways, you would disappear.
Oh my goodness.
What's that? I'm just saying. Eat. So have you been at least catching up with some of these amazing nerdy superhero shows?
Some have you?
So spoiler alert, I have not seen the last episode of Loki because my significant other keeps on falling asleep and she refuses to allow me to watch it by myself. Yeah, this is a downside of being in a decade-long relationship. I have no freedom. So I don't know what happens. And I do have a fear. And you might be able to help me with this fear.
Okay.
I kind of feel that all the Disney Plus shows so far, they like kind of oh God, I was going to say something really inappropriate. I'm not going to do it. So I'm an adult.
Don't do it.
They leave you not satisfied.
Okay.
You know, they tease all of these big, giant, amazing. They're like politicians.
Yeah.
Everything is going to be great. And then it's like, wait, that's it? That's it. You've been talking this up for 8 episodes and this is it, right? I kind of feel like it's going to be that. Because in my head, anything less than like Galactus or Kang the Conqueror or even Nightmare, you know, anything less than a top tier villain, I'm going to be very disappointed. It just like I was underwhelmed with It Was Agatha All Along, which I thought was cool because it was cool, but they teased so much more than Agatha All Along. That's what I wanted. Maybe C'Thone. I wanted Mephisto. Left with I was going to say it again. I'm not going to say inappropriate stuff. I'll tell you off air what I was going to say.
No, I know exactly. I have brothers. I know exactly what you're saying.
Anyway.
Yes. Stop yourself.
And then Falcon and the Winter Soldier, I enjoyed it thoroughly, but I wanted something else. I don't know. Maybe I wanted General Ross at the end to like turn into Red Hulk. I don't know. There was something that I desperately wanted and I didn't get. And I kind of feel it's going to be the same thing here. They have set it up perfectly for it to be Kang the Conqueror. And if it's not Kang the Conqueror, that means I have to wait until Quantumania. Oh, that's some bullshit. No, I don't want to do that.
Well, I feel like Marvel has a habit and they've been showing it. And it might even be a larger habit in modern storytelling, postmodernism, whatever this is. I would call it maybe the Whedon effect or something, which has been this like, and we saw it with, Star Wars with the trilogy, the new trilogy, which is where to subvert audience expectations. And Game of Thrones as well, right? Like they want to completely pull the rug out from under people. So they pick like the most random thing, non-expected thing ever. And then
Daenerys is going to be an evil person in 2 episodes. Great.
Yeah. And then what happens, right? So I think that's maybe a symptom overall right now in mainstream storytelling is like, oh, we have to give them a twist. You know, but the twist, you know, from M. Night Shyamalan, it has to be something crazy, but they're doing it at the expense of characters, character arcs, greater themes, things like that.
If you enjoy listening to this podcast, please consider leaving us a 5-star review on the Apple Podcast app. Your reviews help us grow and reach more listeners like you.
Find us by searching for the Neuro Nerds on the Apple Podcast app today.
Like I am so sour about the boner twist in WandaVision. Oh. Where it's like, really? Why? Like now again, if they're playing the long game and now we know about Loki and variants, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, well, this is a variant of so-and-so. And in this universe, this person is actually this. Then you have female Loki and you have kid Loki. And then you have like, you know, Black Loki, and then you have like all these different versions. You had like Ogre, Hulk Loki, all of these just different versions. So, okay, maybe in a different timeline, Boner is actually Quicksilver. Like, why would you take the guy who was Quicksilver in the Fox franchises and put him in WandaVision to play Quicksilver if he's not going to be Quicksilver? Like, I'm so bitter. I'm so bitter about that. It made no sense. I hated it so much. So if they don't tie it together later on with like variants and Mephisto,
they're not going to.
Come on, give me some.
No, and what I think what happens is, it's not like they're planning it, but the way it feels is they're retconning. Is what they're doing instead of having this all planned out from the beginning, like you said, with they're actually variants and stuff. No, this is retconning. They're like fixing their mistakes at the end and saying no, but it really was this. And I think that comes down also from like, I'm gonna still harp on Endgame, guys. The biggest problem with Endgame, well, there was a lot of problems that Lauren has with Endgame. Let's be real. But one of the problems with Endgame, which I also feel was continued into the Loki series, and to an extent to Black Widow, was there was no internal agreement about time travel and how time worked. Because again, it's been put out there and it's been, what do you call it? Validated or whatever, where, the writers for Endgame had a different understanding of the way time travel and time was functioning. And the Russo brothers had a different one. So that's why it was kind of weird in Endgame. It didn't quite make sense. And they kept beating us over the head, telling us, oh no, it makes sense. It makes sense, when there was no internal agreement. And so that's why I had a continuing problem with it in Loki, where they were just trying to retcon and explain it over and over again. And it didn't quite make sense. And then, you know, the whole thing about Black Widow, if you guys haven't seen the movie, well, you guys have seen Endgame, so spoiler alert, Natasha dies at the end, you know? So like everything that happens in, yeah. So everything that happens in Black Widow, it kind of doesn't matter, you know?
Right, right. It was basically just,
it's very hollow.
Right, right. It's basically just setting up some other things and kind of laying the groundwork mm-hmm. for other characters like Yelena Belova, who, I don't know mm-hmm. how you felt about, I loved her. I was a big fan. I really, really enjoyed her character. And as for like the Russos and the writers, I know what the problem is. The writers, variants.
Mm. Oh God. Well, and Yelena Belova is one of my favorite characters in the comic book. And I love the rivalry in the canon between her and Natasha. And I like the sister dynamic. Mm-hmm. And Florence Pugh is a really good actress.
So good.
She did a good job.
I cried. Now, I cry, Lauren. It's obviously, you've known me forever. I cry all the time. It's annoying. Like I feel like I'm such a man. No, I feel like such a little girl. Yeah, that's sexist. Whatever. I'm in my 40s. I'm learning slowly. So, I was taken aback. It was the scene where she reunites.
Spoiler alert, guys. Spoiler alert. If you haven't seen Black Widow.
Also, come on, guys. Watch Black Widow. You can see it at home. You can see it at home. Well, you got paid.
No, don't make people see it. Yeah, they got to pay money. Like, don't see it when you can, guys.
See it. Yeah, yeah. Whenever you see it, just enjoy it. It was, for me, seeing it at home, amazing experience. I didn't even put on pants. You can't do them in public. You're in trouble. People look at you funny. Anyways, there was spoiler alert. There was a scene where they kind of reunite after years and years with like the mm-hmm. family, with Red mm-hmm. Guardian and Iron Maiden. This is their superhero names. And they were just like, Red Guardian. Yeah, right. Red Guardian is like, oh, it was a job and blah, blah, blah. And then like Iron Maiden was like, oh, yeah, you know, this the mission. And then Yelena Belova is like, it was real to me, because when it happened, like they were like, what, sleeper agents? Is that what you call them?
Yeah, you could call it that.
They're kind of like sleeper agents, like the Americans. I've never seen it, but it's like, you know, Russian undercover.
Undercover.
Yeah, so they were undercover. Yelena Belova, when she started that, she was 3 years old. So it was real to her. Like, that was her, Red Guardian was her father. Black Widow was her sister. And mm-hmm. Iron Maiden was her mother. Like, that was her family. So then seeing them as an adult and them just completely dismissing the way they grew up, she, like, just the look in her face again, she's Pugh. What's her first name?
Florence
Pugh. Amazing actress. I felt all the feels when she was like, it was real to me. Because if you think mm-hmm. about it, yeah, it was real to her. Black Widow was already a little bit older, so she mm-hmm. could be, you know, a little bit jaded. She'd never been through this stuff. She started out when she was 3 years old. So obviously, like, this is the only kind of thing that she's ever known. And just to see her as an adult and just seeing her father and her mother completely dismiss their upbringing was like heartbreaking. You could see it in her eyes. And I was like, oh my God, this is so sad. Which I was very happy to be home to cry with no shame. If I was in a theater, I have to pretend everything is fine or the air conditioning is messing with my eyes.
Well, and for you guys, if you guys know the canon in the comic books, this is, of course, going off the idea that Natasha was not born in the early 1900s and does not have super soldier serum or the Red Room or Russian version of it. Therefore, she is not a super soldier like Steve and Bucky, which I always had an issue because if there was ever going to be a throuple, a threesome, it's them. But again, this is again with that. And of course, this is also ignoring the comic book canon theories that Natasha was actually one of the Romanovs, as in the ruling family of Russia before Lenin, you know? So, because there was a theory, there's a rumor that she was a princess, right? That's why her last name is Romanov.
Oh, right. But she's just like a regular ass human being. Like, not, yeah. She's no super, so she's just like some chick who just happens to be one of the baddest fighters in the world and the greatest.
Right, like, who's a Black Widow.
The greatest super spy ever.
Correct. And what does this all bring about, which is totally hitting home for all of us, and especially me recently? Trauma and what trauma can do to people.
They hit a lot of points.
And, well, one thing I liked about what I like about Loki's character and I like about Black Widow's character, especially in their newer incarnations in a little bit of the MCU and a little bit of the modern comics, is that they are no longer just, you know, they've never necessarily been black or white. They've never been the villain nor the hero. They've kind of been in the in-between, and depending on the writer or the film, and they've kind of shifted one way or the other. They live in the gray, right? By the nature of what they are. And especially with the new version of Loki, who is, you know, Thor's brother, which also is not correct to the mythology. And actually in the mythology, Loki was Odin's brother.
Was he?
You didn't know that. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
He was Loki's, he was Odin's blood brother, blood sworn brother. And he was also a god of fire as well. Like, one of his powers is fire. Yeah, for a frost giant.
Really? So was he was he Loki Borson?
Not a Borson. If I remember correctly, they're blood brothers, which are like sworn brothers. Like, they like...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but, kind of,
by the way,
kind of,
are you impressed a little bit with my deep nerdum right there with Bor, father of Odin?
Yeah, not bad. I heard the Borson. Now, can you name his mother?
Nope. No, I can't.
His mother was a Jotun named Besla.
Besla. Wait, was she a snake? No, I'm thinking basilisk. No. Okay. Went somewhere else.
No. Yeah. But yes, so it's the idea. So, like, one of the things, again, if we're looking at the parallels, and it's interesting how it's being presented, is that, you know, both in the two MCU, like, hot hits right now, and actually most, and then also with, like, WandaVision, has been, like, family has been the theme. You know, same thing with Falcon and Winter Soldier. But especially for Loki and Black Widow, it's the idea of, like, they're adopted children, and, like, what does that do to your identity? You know, and how do they, like, kind of rectify or reconcile that for themselves? That's... or do they?
Wild. You're right. Like, all of the Disney Plus shows have everything to do with family. Wanda losing members of her family, losing more members of her family, losing her children, her like made up children, but then ended up being real. Falcon and the Winter Soldier, even the Flag Smashers, they were like a ragtag group of family. Like, they became family. Bucky.
Or let's talk about Bucky having no family, because the only family he had was Steve. And I have so many issues, but again, I digress. We've already talked about this.
And then Falcon and Falcon's family, everything that's going on in there. And now, you know, Yeah, see, the tie that binds. Family.
Trauma. Mental health. That's where it all comes from.
And even, you know, family and the Black Widow. And also, talk about trauma. The super spoiler at the end where she kind of knocks that thing out of her head. Talk about head trauma. She gave herself definitely a concussion. And I hope she doesn't suffer any post-concussion syndrome, because... that was a very deliberate hit. She slammed her head so hard purposefully on the counter. Now, why did she do that? Watch the movie, guys. It's a very important part. It was really cool.
Yes, absolutely.
I think part of her outfit should be a helmet. I just do. I think every superhero without super soldier serum should have a helmet. That should just be a prerequisite.
That's probably true. And I think that also, it's one thing to keep in mind, especially as we, like, as more of our superheroes come into mainstream media, it's like analyzing why people become a villain or a hero. Is there, you know, is it, it's also like perspective, but it's like trauma, right? Which it's not a fun word, but it's like, what do you do with trauma? You could argue that maybe the creation of these superheroes, like, think of Batman, the ultimate like trauma superhero. Is that people not dealing with their trauma? Right. Becoming like, they're like, oh, I'm going to be a superhero or a supervillain or this, I'm going to be this thing because I don't want to deal with my trauma. Like, I just thought about that right now. I'm
like, if Batman went to therapy, would there be Batman?
Are you a stroke or brain injury survivor looking for community and support? Well, the NeuroNerds are here to help. Join our hashtag USORock Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/USORock to connect with other survivors like you.
Plus, read other inspirational brain injury survivor stories on Joe's blog at josorocks.com/USORock. And submit your stories there as well. We want to hear them.
And remember,
you so rock.
Yeah, right.
Ooh, that's interesting. That's
right. Like, think about that. Like, if our favorite, like, listening to Harry Potter, right? Mm-hmm. If Harry went to therapy and had a good home life and dealt with the abuse, you know, the trauma and the abuse of his,
upbringing, me under the stairs.
Yeah. Do you think he would have gone out of his way to prove himself and of his worth and value to, like, kill Voldemort? Like,
oh, wow.
Do we have all these epic stories because people can't deal with their ish?
Every comic book, every graphic novel, every movie, TV show, all of these can be just they could all disappear right now if it just started with therapy. That's it. If they all went to therapy, we wouldn't have any of these heroes with issues. Tony Stark, right? If he would have gone to therapy earlier, he wouldn't have, you know, ended up the way that he is. Well, the way that he was.
Well, yes, because if he had dealt with the death of his parents, in the comic books, he was alcoholic. Or in the early versions of him. And then it turned into when Robert Downey Jr. had his new one, it was PTSD. Yeah. Right. But that, again, is another ish and trauma response. Right.
Yeah. So much fun. So much fun. Yeah. And it sucks. And I'm saying this and not to, you know, go real deep or anything like that. It sucks that you have that now.
Yeah.
It's
I'm part of the club, guys.
It hurts my heart because I know how deep it can be, you know, and it sucks, but I'm so proud of you for, you know, fighting through and, you know, not creating suits of armor to protect yourself.
I was like, is this my origin story, guys? No, but I'm working with mine. But it's definitely something to consider. It's like, what are we viewing on TV? And it's a good thing. Like, we're kind of now having imperfect characters. And I feel like maybe, especially through Loki's, like from the first episode, I think a lot of people at least saw the first episode. One, Tom Hiddleston, amazing actor. It makes us all feel things. And he's a genuinely beautiful human being.
He makes you feel different things than me.
Shut up. You know, what did they do? So they took the Avengers era Loki, and remember
evil Loki.
And I use evil in quotations because remember basically Thanos' captive prisoner. Right.
More trauma, trauma,
torture. Yeah,
tortured, PTSD, yeah. Mischievous,
kind of like
Loki.
Bucky, right? Come on. So you have that one. So that's the one that hasn't necessarily done the dark world, right? So he hasn't been punished, hasn't lost his mother, hasn't reconciled with Thor, and then didn't do Ragnarok, and then didn't, you know. So they took that very raw Loki, right? And there's a lot of arguments to say, like, he kind of messed up the invasion himself. Like, there's all these theories, which I subscribe to. It's my canon in my head, But then to put him in a situation where then, you know, Mobius is very clinically, you know, just showing him these major milestones in his life.
Right.
You know, and then you get to see these raw reactions, which is really nice because it also shows that Loki wasn't so far gone by then. And the harder Loki we saw, you know, kind of was a product of like not dealing with the trauma of Thanos, you know?
Right. What I really liked is it took several movies for Loki to process, to shift, to change and become the Loki that we all kind of fell in love with at the end where Thanos snapped his neck. Mm-hmm. And in Loki, the Disney Plus show, there was a scene where Mobius is showing him all of the stuff that he did. And just Tom Hiddleston just reacting to himself and all the, like, him being murdered, him, you know, seeing his mother be murdered, all of it, seeing his brother be tortured, seeing all of those things, just his reaction was just brilliant. Tom Hiddleston is awesome. So I actually really like that we've gotten two completely different Lokis. Not obviously the show has like several different ones, but I'm just saying, like, the MCU main canon Loki, that was an amazing journey to follow. Mm-hmm. And then in Loki, the TV show, it's been an amazing journey to see this version turn into who he's turned into, who I think all Lokis are just confused. Mm-hmm. You know, they need a little love, they need a hug, and they need some guidance. If not, they kind of go towards, like, what is it, President Loki? Self-destruction. Yeah. You know, they're not no longer like, oh, you know, he's a god. Yeah, he's the god of mischief, right? It's like, oh no, he's the god of like horror, terror, and evil. Yeah, like that. Yeah. That's it's a thin line. Like, are you going to go this way or that way? And it's just really cool to see two complete different arcs of the same character. I just think it's so. For you, I would think, even though you didn't love how it kind of started, I think you really enjoy it because you're getting like double Loki.
Yeah, to an extent, I have a lot of issues with Lady Loki and some of the other stuff, because in my mind, that's Enchantress. That's not Lady Loki.
Thank you. Yes. I agree 100%.
That is Enchantress. That is
definitely not Lady Loki. It's 100% Enchantress.
Yes. I mean, that's where that's will be my headcanon, and I will, you know, die on that rock. But what's actually really cool, because like, when, you know, we're seeing these progresses, and even though it's not necessarily like how it was in Falcon and Winter Soldier, you know, where we were like happy to even see therapy mentioned, you know, here we're kind of seeing, like you said, those movies of character arc. We're kind of seeing it condensed on screen to give us a more nuanced, evolved Loki, which is amazing.
Right.
Which would be great. But, you know, sorry, lost my train of thought where I was going, guys.
If we only knew what that felt like as brain injury survivors over here, I think it's beautiful to watch like the redemption arc so quickly too, because easily, oh, you know what's even crazier too? Watching the old footage of like how Loki was first introduced.
Mm-hmm.
He was not nice. He was not nice. And I remember Felice was thrown off. She was like, wait a minute. He was that mean? I was like, yeah. He was not nice in the Avengers, but it's because of all these other things. But also, if you look at it as like brain injury survivors, which we are, mm-hmm. it's the hero's journey. Even with Loki, mm-hmm. even with Loki being the god of mischief, he's on the hero's journey. Even him who wanted to destroy everything, he made his way back. Like if he can make it from just like trying to take over the world, trying to take over Earth and siding with that. Well, not that he had a lot of choice, but, you know, siding with Thanos, being responsible for his mother's death in one timeline. If he can make his way back from that, we can make it back from anything.
Well, and now I remembered where I was going with this, guys, because there's this cool new thing. But it was the idea of like, you know, seeing trauma and character arc and mental illness being mentioned on mainstream media, especially via Disney, which is one amazing because it's so many people can see it. But there is now a new shift in like some storytelling. And we found there is a cool new, you know, we're going to shift a little bit from Marvel, but it's a new DC comic series coming out, guys.
Wait, who's it by?
What do you mean? DC.
Not boo. Thank you for setting me up. I just wanted to boo DC.
But it's the comics. It's not the DCU or DCEU. Oh, remember, we just, we like the comics.
We do. We do.
And it's called Heroes in Crisis. And it's supposed to be how people with superpowers can overcome emotional trauma. And so from what we have researched, guys, in the Neuro Nerds labs, and it takes place in a place called Sanctuary, which is a crisis center for superheroes, which helps them come to terms with the mental and emotional wounds that inevitably result from their commitment to a life of brutality. So this almost sounds like what happens while they're the superhero. Maybe not quite. It's like, it's not therapy to get them to prevent them to be a superhero, but once they are. Right. And it says Sanctuary was founded by Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman. Wow. And then when this series does begin, it begins about after 5 years of operation of this Sanctuary Center. And the author is really cool. His name is Tom King, and he is a former CIA operations officer who served in Iraq. And he apparently returned from war and had his own mental health crisis. In his words, he says, "I was broken. I didn't realize how brittle I was. I couldn't catch my breath. And I think a lot of us can relate to that statement.
God, that I feel personally hit. That is deep. Because you know what's funny? Just that wording.
Mm-hmm.
Brittle. You feel brittle. You feel weak. You know that there's there's something to somebody who's so physically strong, Lauren Almanzano, to feel weak. You know, like
fragile.
You know, it's like brittle. It's kind of a mind fuck. Like it really is. It's so deep. There's something that's like you can't explain what goes on in our brains. You know, that's why I think we all kind of flock together, like brain injury survivors, mm-hmm. because like we understand it. We can explain it a million times over. You're not going to get it. And that's okay. Like, that's okay. Well, I don't want you to get it because it's horrific. Unless you're my enemy, then of course I want you to get it because it's horrific. And I want you to know and feel horrific things. Right. Is that that too much? Is that too Joker? Is that too evil villain?
Wow.
But I like how they're touching base with like, yeah, superheroes, you're living a life of trauma and stress. Just like, you know, the dude was in the CIA, so he's seen some stuff. So he's lived a life of trauma and stress. Now, we have not gone to war, but I say it before, like we have gone to war with our own minds.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you to our amazing community on Patreon for supporting this podcast.
You can support us too and get different perks and gifts depending on which Neuro Jedi tier you sign up for. For example, if you're on our Neuro Padawan $5 tier, then you're probably listening to this episode a day early before its public release.
Your support helps us grow and continue to create this podcast. Plus, a portion of the proceeds go to a different cause or individual in the brain injury survivor community each month. Sign up at patreon.com/theneuronerds.
Now, however you had your brain injury, whether you got it through a stroke, a pre-existing condition, an accident, it's trauma. It's traumatic. It really, it can, and in most cases, it changes your life. It shifts it like completely. So it's nice to know that even in comic books and these actual superheroes are kind of processing and have to deal with some of the stuff that we do. It's normalizing it like across the board.
Absolutely. And actually, this is going to a bigger trend. Apparently, there's something called superhero therapy, and it could just be like a nice sensational title, but or there's another one called geek therapy, which is kind of incorporating fandom and superheroes in order to create a way for people to maybe identify with a character in therapy. And, you know, they can find someone or something or a situation that represents, you know, how they feel better than they're able to articulate. And especially because fandom is usually very central to most people's, to a lot of people's like identity or something they hold very dear. So they're able to, you know, identify. And maybe that's a great way to kind of push someone or like to help them and be like, hey, so your favorite character is, Harry Potter, right? Or Buffy and, you know, or Xena or whatever. And they go on a journey of self-discovery of who they are and their identity. And, you know, maybe that's a pathway for you to move through your healing and recovery.
I love that. I know we try to do that. You know, we've shared our story several times. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we share it through everything kind of nerdom. We've talked about our journey through Star Wars, through Harry Potter, through Buffy, through the MCU, through the DC. Boo! Sorry, I can't help it. Every time I hear DC, I just want to boo. Sorry, not DC, DCEU. Even that, just, I kind of feel like I need to rinse my mouth out when I hear DCEU.
But that's also really cool. Like, if we think about it now, maybe people who didn't have access to fandom or, you know, the horrible gatekeepers in the nerdom world where, you know, you got to be able to name every single character that ever existed.
Nerds.
But now that it's like accessible via Disney, you know, for as much as our Disney overlords control everything and we have issues with what they've done to some narratives, but, you know, maybe a kid will see, you know, WandaVision and a teenager or an adult will see it, the progress of grief. And now they can be like, oh, that's what I'm feeling. So maybe I'm angry, you know, and then, you know, and it can help normalize grief Or, you know, same thing with Loki. Maybe someone who's adopted who has a lot of anger issues can be like, okay, maybe I'm on a journey like Loki.
That's beautiful. I love that. And look, it's been a hot button issue for the past couple of years, you know, and I think it's well deserved too. Representation matters. Like it does in, you know, everything from nationality, sexual preference, religion, everything. It all matters. Representation matters. And also, like, so, hey, mental health, it matters. Seeing these icons, seeing these juggernauts go to therapy, that's a big deal. You know, there's not too many superheroes more masculine than the Winter Soldier. Sorry. Have you seen that dude without a shirt? Good Lord. Now, that being said, he's sitting across fighting back tears, talking to a therapist. That was a big deal. Sorry.
It's okay.
See you in a sec.
All right. We're going to honor the moment, guys. This is good.
Sorry.
This is progress.
It was a big deal for me. Fuck. It's fucking Winter Soldier. It's his fault.
I know. It's about my boyfriend. It's okay. It's about Bucky and the goats.
It was a big deal for me to see, you know, an actual superhero, right? I'm a big fan of the Winter Soldier, but to see a superhero process and not have to just be, I'm a big, strong man, you know, and just like let your guard down and share.
Yes, men, you can have emotions. Men, you can cry. You are valid. Your emotions are valid. Again, down with the toxic masculinity.
For sure. It was really nice to see, and it was really refreshing. And it was representation. It was really nice to see look, what's the difference between, you know, a soft, squishy man, a big, strong man, like a man, whatever it is. I just saw, you know, Bucky as like masculine, right? Like he's not just that, but like a superhero. And there's nothing more masculine to me than like a superhero. And just to see this dude just break and question things and process stuff out, you know, and just say things like, what does that say about me? What if it was great to see. And it was really impactful to me. And I can only imagine how many others felt that. And not just in that situation. This is like a mental health thing. This is a PTSD thing. This is a trauma thing, which is beautiful. But then
it's validating.
Oh, 100%. I start to think even further down the line where I'm saying, wow, you know, we have a Black Captain America that is going to change children's lives. In the future, we're going to have Ms. Marvel, who's Pakistani, which is amazing. And it just makes me think of Anushe, who lives in Pakistan. Like, imagine if she had that when she was a kid. This is a superhero that I can be that because she looks exactly like me. Representation matters, you know, and just across the board. And specifically for me, seeing Marvel and Disney touch on mental health is so important. And it started with, you know, when they switched Tony Stark from being an alcoholic to having PTSD, when they had him have his dissociative episodes, when he had his breaks, when all of those things, when he went and he talked about his trauma, it was a big deal. You know, that all of this is, it makes me comforted that we have our Disney overlords.
Absolutely.
Sorry for that quick break. I didn't realize that was going to hit me the way it did.
No, and that's good. But I think that's a good place to kind of leave it for today is where are we represented, you know, in whatever whatever that identity is, whether it's gender, sexuality, mental health, brain injuries, you know, where are you represented? What is the stories that are being told? I think a few years ago, we talked about changing the narrative and we talked about telling our own stories. And so some of those stories are now coming to light. Now, is Disney doing an A+ job? Hell no, they ain't doing that. They ain't doing shit, especially on some of the spectrums. All right, on things, but at least it's starting.
You know, exactly. It's not perfect.
So, no,
it's not
nowhere
perfect
near
at all. But no, we're getting there.
Yes. So, you know, I think we always like to end with an idea of the hope and progress. And I feel like we're on our way, especially with such amazing shows as like Loki and the movie Black Widow. So if you haven't seen those yet, guys, go watch it and then go whenever it's published. I don't think it's published yet. It could be. I could be completely wrong, guys. But Heroes in Crisis, it is a DC comic that.
Boo. You know, no. Yay, DC Comics. Yay. Boo. DCEU.
Yeah.
And look, and also just saying out there, what characters do you resonate with? What new characters, what future characters that are coming to the MCU where you're like, hey, that is going to be my guy, you know? Mm-hmm. Let us know. Hit us up. I'll do a poll. You know, we'll do a poll on the NeuroNerds Instagram. You let us know, like, what characters, like, represent you, and also, like, what characters do you want to see represented in the future, you know? Mm-hmm. I think that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. I don't know why my voice went up, but it did. Also, I just want to say, Lauren, first off, your nails look amazing.
Thank you.
Like, they're so long in comparison to, like, the length that they normally are. And I'm a little off-put. I'm a little frightened, you know? It's a little bit like a Taskmaster when he went, whoosh, and the nails came out. Reminded me of that. Also, I just love you so much. Aside of that, I'm so fucking proud of you. Aside of that, I'm so tired of fucking crying every time we talk, Lauren. But I love you so much, and I'm so happy to just chat with you and see your amazing, ass-kicking, beautiful face. I just love you so damn much.
I love you guys too, and Joe.
Mostly me. Mostly I would say him. All that. And on that very selfish note, you can reach out to this amazing woman at Lauren L. Manzano on Instagram. You can reach out to us at the Neuro Nerds on all the socials. You can reach out to me at Joe Soul Rocks everywhere. And on that, really, I got a little discombobulated note. These Neuro Nerds are out. Your nails are really long. Like, they're longer than normal. It looks really good.
Thank you. I've been getting them done.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.